I'm Dan Abnett, and you're listening to Sean Hammer.
Well, here we are, episode 52 of Sean Hammer. Today is going to be a little bit of a ragtag episode compared to what I think, but anyway, it'll just be me just rambling for a bit, just throwing out some show ideas and pleading for you guys to give me some help. I've come into what you would call podcaster's block. Outside of playing games and reporting about what I play, I don't know what exactly to report to you guys about and what you might want to hear. So let's go ahead and talk about what's been going on in the world of Sean Hammer for the last little bit. Well, I've been easing up a little bit on the HeroClix. Not much, but I've been easing. Working on doing a campaign for HeroClix with a few couple of buddies of mine. Here comes the let's see, I've been painting some excuse me. If you hear the noise in the background, that's the Michigan Life support system this time of year, called air conditioning. But I've been working on my Sanguinary Guard. They're coming along quite nicely. I was hoping to have them done already last week, but it's looking like maybe this week. I'm going to try and get them done up for my Killzone team, and then I can work on my Deathwatch team. I've been gluing together Valkyries, or Vendettas for that matter. I've been kind of just hodgepodging las cannons to the damn things. I don't have enough bits to actually go through and make up the Vendetta. So anyone out there who's got some extra las cannons they want to float my way, hook a brother up, I guess. let's see. I got a new Malifaux crew. Don't ask, but I got it. I got the Kaladi box set. Looking very forward to playing that coming up in the near future. And I'm waiting for the local hobby store to order me up a Zoraida and a Voodoo doll. And I got my little puppet theme going on, and I'm going to paint up my Wicked dolls to be looking like, you know, the movie 9 with the little puppets. They kind of remind me of them. And I have an interview coming up with Bill from the Gamers Lounge. We're going to do a two-part interview on MNS, the Miners and Steam Fritters Unions Bar, MNSU Bar. And we're going to do one half on his show and post the other half on mine, get you guys cross-referencing to different shows that are out there, different podcasts. Still, I'm caught up to date for the podcast life after the cover save. It's pretty funny. You like funny? Listen to these guys. They're pretty cool and nice to listen to, especially when you got a job that you can listen to podcasts and you need something to just kill the time. Let's see. Anything else? Painted Sanguinary Guard. Got my... That's about it. Played some Malifaux last couple weeks. And I'm looking at becoming a henchman for Weird Games. So that's it for my past couple bits of weeks for what's been going on in my life. We're going to start off today. We're talking a little bit about the Malifaux games. Well, I went up to the local hobby store, Cool City Games, and I was going to play a friend of mine, Andrew Becker, and we were going to play some Malifaux one day, and then my brother-in-law, Matt Blankenship, he showed up, and he wanted to learn how to play it, so I was like, oh, that's fine, I'll teach you guys, give you a little bit of rundown to my limited knowledge. And the best way to learn not Malifaux is just to play it. I mean, you can sit there, I found out, and explain shit all you want to people. They're not going to get it until you see it in play. So, forgive me if you don't know, but here we go. So, I taught them to play some Malifaux. We did small little games. Cryo, the Resurrectionist, against the Ortegas. The Ortegas took Perdita, Francisco, and Nino. We did a really small little game, little 13 Soul Stones, I think. And for the Cryo, we took, of course, Cryo, two Onyos, and the Shinsen, and, of course, summoning the Aikiro, or whatever her name is. And it went okay, you know, just trying to show them how to go up with everything. Ortegas won. Perdita sometimes can be a pretty bad bitch. And then Becker came over next day. We played some more games. We took the Cryer crew at 25 Soulstones against Hoffman's crew. Now, in 25 Soulstones for Cryer, I ended up taking Cryer, the two Onyos, Datsube, I think two Shensons, and the Lost Love. Key to Cryer, as I found out, is play Lost Love. I mean, she gets even more... I don't want to say broken, because I think it's not broken, but more difficult to play while you had the Lost Love. Becker ended up taking his Hoffman's crew. He had the Guardian, the Hound, some type of Hound, Ryle, and the Toolkit. Pretty tough, especially with a lot of things that rely on you having a weapon, a willpower duels against. The machines have no willpower because they're constructs, so they ignore that. But unfortunately, they have armor as well, and the spirits ignore armor. So it was pretty tit for tat on that. And I basically ground them down. We didn't play any schemes or strategies because I'm trying to get my buddy into playing Malifaux, get the gist of it before we start doing schemes. I think this weekend we're going to play a game, and I'm going to bust out my Colati and go from there, check it out. And, anyway, we end up just pretty much fighting it out. The Cryer group, as you recall from the one episode when I was talking about Cryer, she does what she does. She jumps around. She switches places with different spirits. In turn, she becomes a spirit herself, healing everything back and forth, summoning her, spirit form, basically, and just hitting stuff. I mean, so, as a straight out, we're just going to play against each other type of game, I think the Hoffman group was at a disadvantage on that. Ryle's horrible in a bad way for anybody else not playing Ryle, and a great way for somebody playing Ryle. Our second game, I took my Neverborn. I'm working on a grow list. I don't know how great of a grow list this is, but of course I had Lilith. I had a Terratot, a young Nephilim, and the Chemo. I'm going to take a grow list. I already have the biggest, baddest piece. He ended up playing the full box of Ortegas, which was a Francisco, and the whole King Caboodle minus the grandmother and the enslaved Nephilim. Did pretty good. You know, he's grasping, Becker's grasping the call of the game. How activations work and companions and everything. And, first turn, I gave up some wounds and I got some bloodstones. Then second turn, I traded in bloodstones to mature my young Nephilim into a mature Nephilim. And later on, during the game, I took my Terratot, made it to young Nephilim, you know, like, kind of like Frogger, taking little, medium, big, and, well... I thought Nakima was going to be my key. I thought she was going to be... I mean, she's potentially a nasty model. But, as it were, the fates were in the cards this battle for Lilith. She's got extremely long charge range. So, he put Nino out there. He thought he was good to have him and stuff. And, well, Lilith, she just rushed forward, charged Nino. I flipped a red joker. I mean, I hit, then I flipped a red joker for damage. And I was like, sweet. And, you know, the severe damage, so I'm doing my thing, and Becker's all like, well, you know, I was reading on the forums and stuff, and you flip a red joker, don't you flip another card? I was like, oh, shit, you know, you do. You know, because I'm relatively new. I mean, I played a couple games, but I'm newish. Well, anyway, I flip my next card. 13. And one fell swoop, I just decapitated the shit out of Nino Ortega and threw his head at his sister's body. That was freaking beautiful. Then, other than that, it was just a little bit beat down, dodging bullets, taking some wounds. Yeah, and as for the Ortegas, let me just tell everyone out there, don't clump your freaking models together if you're playing against anyone who plays Papa Loco. Holy crap. He comes up, blows up, bam, did 6 wounds. every model within, I think, 6 inches. It was freaking devastating. Teratat, gone. Young Niflin, gone. Nikima, 3 wounds left. Lilith, I mean, it was pretty bad. So, you know, Becker's getting the hang of it and stuff, and look forward to playing him this weekend, and you guys can look forward to my shabby-ass battle reports. Maybe next time we'll play with the schemes, and I'll log the whole thing down so you can hear it. So, yeah, I got some games of Malifaux in, working on some of the models. I'm going to end up painting the Lacrox Gremlins, the ones that look like the Ortegas, because Becker wanted to play the Ortegas, but he didn't want to copy, so he picked the Bayou Gremlins that want to be the Ortegas, and he was going to pick, not Hoffman, I can't remember his damn name, but anyway, the guy that they all have the special suits and stuff. I remember when I'm done doing this podcast. I don't have none of my reading material with me right now. So, you know, so I'm going to end up painting the Gremlins for Becker. And he bought the nice swamp bases, so it's going to be beautiful. And coming up soon, actually, I was supposed to receive some stuff from the guys at Fiendish Fabrications. You can go ahead and link to them on my site. And they sell bases. I got some nice bases, and I'm going to buy some from my Deathwatch Kill Team, I think. But what really draws it is they have their own miniature line, and you can use, you know, substitute them for Malifaux models and stuff like that, and that's pretty cool. But they have a baseline of, they do bases. Now, these bases are 30mm, 40mm, 50mm round bases with the curved edges with polystyrene, terrain features on them, such as brimstone bases, Victoria Street bases, odd floor bases, I think they're called. So I'm looking forward to getting some of that in this week so I can go ahead and check them out, put them up for you guys to see, you know, give you my review, what you think of these. And that's about it for Malifaux. Now, it takes us into about 12 minutes now, and I really haven't said much. But I think what we're going to go to is I'm going to express my... we're going to skip that. I'm going to do a shorter show this week, because I plan on doing another show next week. So we're going to skip the commercial blocks, do an end song, you know, we'll do the Ray Gun Look At Me song, which is totally badass, and if you want to go ahead and check them out, either click to my radio at its finest, me leaving my cell phone on. Oh well. So, yeah, we'll just go ahead and skip the whole middle pleasantries. I gotta do a new commercial for Cool City Games because they moved locations a whole 2 doors down. Also working in a commercial for Phoenix Fabrications. Hopefully my wife go ahead and have her sexy voice do a commercial for them. So let's our next topic is buddy of mine, the owner of Cool City Games, Jeff. He deciding that he's looking at the Maelstrom Games, I forgot what they're called, but they're Chaos Dwarf line. And he used to play Chaos Dwarfs, and he wants to start them up. He wants to start playing play Chaos Dwarfs in 8th edition. Now, Chaos Dwarfs aren't really supported by Games Workshop. Warhammer's Forge, they make some extra models for them, but they're going to release books and stuff, and it's going to be like Imperial Armor for the 40k players. So they're not going to be really relatively used in events and stuff. So I was like, hey, Jeff, I got this model from Avatars of War, one of our sponsors, of a Chaos Dwarf Lord. And I had him look it up online, and he saw it, and he loved it. So I gave it to him to use for his Chaos Dwarf Lord. I told him, I can get you the indie Chaos Dwarf book that's using it, the indie GTs. Now they're using this widely accepted. And he's just like, you know, you could do that? I was like, yeah. It took me a little searching. I went ahead and got him this whole book. Now, I'll probably do a breakdown of the two books I'm going to be speaking of mostly today. Kind of like how I do my army review, so people can see the amount. I mean, these army GT books, I like to say to the developers and stuff for the games, man, you guys did a great freaking job. I mean, this Chaos Dwarf book has full art. It's got color photos in the middle. It's got the covers in color, nice artwork on that. full background of the Chaos Dwarfs, background of the units, unit descriptions. I mean, just like you were reading a Warhammer 8th Edition army book, you know, these guys put forth the effort making 8th Edition Chaos Dwarf, or I would really say it's probably more so 7th Edition, but it can be used in 8th Edition. So, this really, you know, comparable book that you can use using Chaos Dwarfs. Now, looking around and getting this out for him, I come across, you know, it's just like, oh, what's this? You know, here's a Regiment Renown PDF I found, and also Dogs of War army book for the same style for the NDGTs. Oh my god, the developers that do this, they are just amazing. I mean, like I said, you got full art, unit descriptions, magic item descriptions. I mean, these guys or girls went through full tilt to make what would be a totally playable 7th or 8th edition Dogs of War army list. And that's freaking fantastic that these people put this amount of work. This tells you the level of love that people have for the hobby. And this can go into the whole Codex productions of making homebrewed codexes and stuff. There is plenty of people, you know, fan bases that are willing to put forth the effort and, you know, go ahead and make their codexes to what they feel should be widely accepted. People that play test these codexes, probably more extensively than Games Workshop does. I mean, it's a freaking fantastic. I mean, the one for the Dogs of War, even before you get to the freaking the army rules, I think it's like 42, 50 pages of just fluff. Now, I know a lot of people don't like hearing, oh, the fluff, screw the fluff, and what about the game? Well, this book has plenty of that, too. It's broken into two sections, and both are different downloads. One is just a full list of running a Dogs of War army. Magic items, the rules for pikes that they use, Tilian plate armor, it's got it all. I mean, it's pretty substantial amount of work went into these army books, I should say, not codexes. So, I'll try and put a link out for those coming up pretty soon. I just wanted to go ahead and exhaust my enthusiasm for these people who did such a fine job trying to bring their love for the game and the love for the armies to areas that Games Workshop has just obviously eradicated from their mindset. I mean, it's just like, they forget that people out there already have armies that they've bought. And, you know, there's people, I believe, ravening hordes. You had the Dark, the Chaos Dwarfs out there, and they said that they were going to do something with them. Then all of a sudden, bam, they don't do nothing with them? Like, come on, Games Workshop, get your head out your ass. I mean, if you weren't too busy worrying about exactly how much freaking money you want to charge people, what country you want to screw on tariffs, you know, and how much money you want to save yourselves while enveloping more costs to the players, so you, for your fine cast, let me tell you this, your fine cast should be called shit cast, because it looks no better, not so much better at all, than your metal models. I've seen it, I've seen comparable next to the same thing. Once you prime it and paint it, there is no freaking difference, except unless you're a 20-pound, you know, book nerd who can't even lift an army case. He wants, instead of having a metal army, he can do this resin stuff. I mean, you guys should look at different companies and take a toll of what you're doing. I'm like, you are number one out there, so to speak. You got a product that people love. You stop supporting the damn thing. You start getting rid of armies. I mean, look at how long that take you to put out a freaking Blood Angels codex. It took you freaking forever. I was like, oh, you had to deal with two white dwarf freaking articles and a PDF. I was like, way to go, one of your founding chapters of the Precious Space Marines, and you don't even support the bastards. And now what are you doing with the Dark Angels? You're going to sit on them for a while and think everyone's going to be okay with your FAQs? I mean, that's why you got people. I mean, you got Rich, I think, from the Eternal Warriors, who's doing the Codex project for the Sisters of Battle. He's putting all that work for his Sisters of, well, I forgot what they're called, but he did a great job interpreting in his mind what a Sisters of Battle army should be like. So if you want to see your sales start going up, start supporting the game fully, putting your full amount of work to it. You expect it out of your employees to do their 8 hours worth of work a day, or if not more, you need to do your part. I mean, it's not just about the money. The money will come. You put a love into something, you put the, you know, your faith into something, and it will become great. You're letting your empire topple. And you got people like Weird Games, Privateer Press, and they're coming right up behind you and picking up the scraps, which you call, you know, the unworthy players, whatever, you know. It's like, no one can afford to do a new army anymore. Times are shit right now. So a lot of people have old armies. 8th edition, yes, did make people pull out some of their old armies out of the closet, but you left a couple behind. 40k, same thing. But you need to stop raising your freaking price. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm trying to put together an Imperial Guard army, my new version of it, 9 Vendettas, or Valkyries and Vendettas, depends on what I want to do. It's not cheap. I'm looking at alternate models. Everyone is. You know, unless you're playing in a bunker or something, local hobby stores aren't going to give a rat's ass if you got GW models, as long as the majority are. I mean, so you can sit out there and you can spruce it up a little bit. You know, you can get off your asses, produce models for codexes that don't have models. I mean, do the words Thunderwolf Cavalry mean anything to you? I mean, look at that. One of my sponsors, Mr. Dandy, does a great conversion set for the Thunderwolf Cavalry. I painted one, I haven't posted pictures because I want to put all of them up there. But they're freaking fantastic. You know, sky's the limit on that. And you're going to put it in your books, you need to make it. You got armies already out there in existence, people want to play them, you need to support it. And stop, you know, I don't know. I could care less about the... I can't really say that. I do care. I mean, it's part of the reason why, you know, I'm doing a podcast. I mean, I do like talking about Games Workshop and Warhammer, 40K, and the long-forgotten armies like Epic, freaking Battlefleet Gothic. And it's not long-forgotten on that one. Oh, Man of War, Blood Bowl. I mean, these are things that you've developed, and you've created a fan base, and you can't even come forth and support something that you've created. It's kind of fishy there, people. Well, that's my little rant for today. Pretty soon, going to go to Games Day. I'm going to meet up with somebody I've been trying to get a hold of, and I've not been able to get a hold of him, but he's been recently added to the Games Day list, and that is a Mr. Mike Lee, author of the Nagash series. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to meet up with Nick Keim, taking my beautiful wife with me, and also Andrew Becker's going. We're going to do up some Games Day. And look forward to some prizes being handed out in that. And so we have more to come as the time gets closer. I'm done bitching for today. I'll put a little bit more forethought into a show coming up soon. We're going to be talking Malifaux, so if you don't like Malifaux, I'm sorry. But I do have a 4D fantasy. I'm going to be talking about the new army books. The not Games Workshop army books, but the independent army books. The Dogs of War, also the Chaos Dwarfs. And for 40K, I'm putting together a segment. Two of them. One is They Swing Both Ways. That would be for the Harlequins. And their uses actually in the Eldar and the Dark Eldar army lists. You know, comparing both, you know, their beneficials and which army they seem to actually benefit the most. And which army doesn't really need to have them in there. Also, another one I'm looking on is the one-shot killers. I mean, one's going to be Sly Marlborough. A lot of people, they hate that bastard. At first points, he's cost-effective. Another one is also Lone Wolves for Space Wolves. Here we have he doesn't give up a kill point if he dies on the battlefield, baby. So his object is to die, and what do you do against him? Do you ignore the threat, or do you... You know, it's something to think about. There's ideas I have. If you got any ideas, send them to Sean. Send them to me, Sean, at SeanHammer, SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. I'd love to take them in effect and be able to go through, get some ideas, some show topics that you guys want. Congratulations goes out to Mark Dieter, who eventually got his Grey Knight box that I send out. I also send them a Castilian Crow for being patient for me, because it took me a bit to send them out. Show ideas, input comments, send them to me at Sean Hammer, the number 9. Make sure you check out the sponsors, you know, like Phoenix Fabrications, Avatars of War, Cool City Games. I mean, great companies willing to put forth a lot of time into, you know, it may not be their hobby. They may not own the rights, but they want to, you know, give to the players. And that's why I like. I know they're doing it for a buck, but, you know, their quality, they're jumping right on and stuff. It's kind of like Chapter House Games. You know, they put out a product and Games Workshop is suing them because of it. Anyway, that's going to be it for today's show. I hope I didn't bore you too much. You got any ideas? You say, Sean, this sucked. Why don't you do this? Send it to me. You know, you are the listeners. You are my direction. You're my guiding light, people. Until next time, remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game.
In darkness, you're leaving.